been really, really, really nice. I've really enjoyed it. Anyway, if you turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings in the third chapter. 1 Kings 3. And I'm going to wait for you to get to the passage here. 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Starting verse 1. When you get to say amen. Amen. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of the Egyptian, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David. Now, back in the days, you know, a lot of the kings, what they would do if they would want to have an allegiance with another nation, they would do it in marriages. And so Solomon, who is King David's son, he said, I need to have an alliance with a powerful nation. So he went and he married Pharaoh's son. He became Pharaoh's son-in-law. So if anything that ever went down, broke out, you know, they say, well, listen, you know, we're kinfolk. We're kinfolk. And that was a practice that they did back in that day quite a bit. And it says, and he brought him to the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the walls of Jericho round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places. Now, Solomon was a man who God loved. He loved his son. But what he did, that high places, whenever you see that where they worship or sacrifice in high places, that was a pagan tradition. The Canaanites started it, and they would worship in high places. But Solomon, I believe that he did not have the knowledge of that. I believe what he did was he followed the practices of what was going on. I believe he was innocent and knowing that he was doing offerings or whatever on a pagan type of a thing, the high places. Because there was not house built into the name of the Lord until those days. So what they would do, they would build altars, you know, to sacrifice unto the Lord, to have communion with the Lord. And it said that he did it. Now notice what it said. It says, only the people sacrifice in high places, because there was no other place for them to sacrifice and commune with the Lord. Only thing they knew to do was what they had saw others doing. We need to be careful about following other people's traditions and rituals. We need to be, bless you, we need to be very careful of that. Sometimes it seems very innocent. And a lot of times people are unaware of what they're doing. And that's, you know, bring me to October the 31st. That's why we're having a harvest party instead of celebrating the Day of the Dead. A lot of people don't realize the root of that and the consequences of it, of dealing with that. And we've all, when we were kids, we went out and celebrated Halloween. We all went out and had bags of candy and we put on these costumes and all these types of things. We all done that because we didn't have the knowledge of what it truly understood, what it really meant. You know, I do a teaching on that every time that this season comes up, and I will be doing another teaching on it. And a lot of people are astonished of what that Day of the Dead represents. But it seems very harmless because we had done it when we were children, but we didn't have any understanding of what it meant. But now that we have an understanding, he who knows better, do better. Amen. And I've gotten a lot of people upset with me behind that. I've gotten a lot of people really, really was mad at me and upset with me about bringing forth the truth. But not only am I going to bring it, I want you to be like the Bereans and go and find out for yourself. You know, once again, Psalms 118:8, better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. So, you know, find out for yourself what exactly what that day of the dead represents. It's not for those of us who are Christians. Trust me. Anyway, I done got off track here. Where was I? Oh, verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. Now listen, he loved the Lord, but he really was ignorant of the fact about sacrificing in high places. Walking in the statues of his of David, his father, only he sacrificed burnt offerings in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon, verse 4-5, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night. Now he was at this place where he was sacrificing. He was sacrificing unto the Lord. And it says, and the Lord came to him in a dream. And by night, and God asked, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. The Lord said, what do you want from me, Solomon? Oh, what would you ask of me? You know, it's almost like, you know, the little lamp, and you rub the lamp and the little genie comes out and it says you have 3 wishes. Now, we don't deal with that here, but I'm just giving you a little analogy that God says, ask what you will of me. And Solomon said, I want a blonde, a brunette, redhead. I want a Mercedes. I want a house in L.A., one in, is that what he said? Now, let me ask you this here. What if the Lord came to you one day and said, ask whatever of me and I will grant it? I don't want to hear no comments. Just think about what would you ask for? Let's see what he asked for. And anyway, he says, and Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. So first of all, he says, I want to thank you for showing mercy to my father David. He said, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart with thee. Because remember, it said that King David was a man after God's own heart. Even messing up the way he did, he messed up big time, didn't he? Just in case some might not know how he messed up, King David was a out on his rooftop one day, and he looked down and he saw a woman bathing. And he says, oh, who is that? And they said, that's your servant Uriah's wife. It went in one end, out the other. He says, I want to bring a little closer. I want to see her a little closer. And we all know the story. He committed adultery. He committed adultery. Now, this was a man after God's own heart. He committed adultery, and after he committed adultery, he found out that she was pregnant, about to have a child. He called her husband, Uriah, back from the war and said, I'm giving you a couple of days to go in and have a rest and be with your wife. And we all know what happened. Uriah said, no, king. He said, while our men are out there in a war, I will not have comfort. And he slept at the king's palace. And the next day they told him he didn't go home. So the lie, the deception, could not be covered up with that. So it got him drunk. And for those of us who have participated in things like that in the past, you know, we're not in our right mind. So he says, well, I'll get him in his not in his right mind, and he'll go be with his wife. But he slept at the door of the palace and didn't go. So King David says, now, I can't blame this on him now. So what am I going to do? So he had him killed in the battle. He had him killed in the battle. Might as well, King David, might as well just took a sword and stuck through him himself. But he had him killed in the battle. And he took Bathsheba as his wife. And then the baby came. And we all know the story. But anyway, after all of that, God called him a man after his own heart. Because just like all of us, we mess up from time to time, don't we? But we still love the Lord, don't we? But King David was one, when it was brought to his attention, he did not put blame on nobody else. He says, I sinned against the Lord. I sinned, not Bathsheba, not Uriah, not the nation of Israel, but I sinned against you, Lord. You see, he took responsibility of what he did when he messed up. And you don't see him messing up like that again. Now, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And we confess it, we repent of it, and we're forgiven and move on. But you do not continue to do that over and over and over again. Right? And so, you know, and King David had a heart for the Lord. He loved the Lord. So anyway, this is his son saying, you know, thank you, Lord, for my father, for the kindness that has given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. I thank you, Lord, for my father loved you and you love my father. And you have given me the opportunity, the privilege, the honor to take his place and sit on the throne. Oh, what a blessed thing that is. And now, O Lord, my God, verse 7, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. Uh-oh. I am but a little child. Now, he is sitting on the throne. He's king of all of Egypt. I mean, all of Israel. And he's saying, but I am a little child. He was not a child. He was 20 years old when he took the throne. But what he's saying was, I don't have what it really takes to be a king. I didn't have to go through all of the stuff that my father went through. And I don't have the ability to do what you called me to do. Now see, that's what tells me and should tell you that he is able to do what God has called him to do. Beware of people saying, oh, I got this and I got that. I got a PhD and I got all of this here, you know, and yes, I'm able to do this and that and other. Be careful about people who think that they're qualified, because God calls the unqualified and then qualifies them. I never, ever wanted to be a pastor ever in my life, because I felt that I was I knew that I wasn't qualified. For the stuff that I've done, oh my goodness, the life that I used to live, oh no. How in the world am I going to stand up in front of a congregation and tell them about sin when I was a chief sinner in the world? Oh, wasn't qualified, but God, he's the one who chose me. He's the one who called me. He's the one who put the Holy Spirit within me to do what he has called me to do. And the same thing with you too. Joey, just past Saturday, did his first Saturday morning ministry at Curtis Street Apartments. I'm so proud of you, I don't know what to do. I'm so proud of you. And he heed and haw, but he went over there and he ministered, boy, and he did an excellent job. Oh, he didn't say, oh, yeah, Pastor, I'm ready to go. I can do it. No. And God used him in a mighty way. We have another one sitting here. Oh, I can't sing. I don't want to be in front of people. But Nadia, you have been such a blessing, girl. I mean, you bring to the table here. You have no idea what you bring to the table here. And yes, you feel unqualified. But God has called you and qualified you. Now, let me speak to some of the rest of you. Some of you, God has given you giftings and you keep on sitting back and sitting back and sitting back and not using the giftings that God has called you to. Beware of that. Be really, really aware that the things that God has put within you and have called you to do. No. He will qualify you. If he called you, he will never ask you to do something and not give you the ability to do it. Ever. So I'm just speaking that out in general to all of y'all sitting out here in the pews. Mm-hmm. And then listen to what he says. I was a child. He says, I know not how to go out or to come in. He said, I don't know how to do nothing. I don't know how to lead this country. I don't know how to be a king. I've been pampered all my life. You see, I ain't never wanted for nothing. I don't know how to do anything. How in the world can I do anything? And this is it. And thy servant is in a midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted as a multitude. Now, you have put me over all of these people that can't even be counted. I'm not qualified to deal with none. I can't even deal with my own self. How am I going to deal with all these people? Huh? How am I going to deal with these people? He said, give therefore. And he said, now I'm going to ask, you asked me what I wanted. I've told you that I'm not qualified. I thank you for being there for my daddy. You know, I thank you for him. He said, give therefore thy servant. Give therefore, listen to this. Give therefore your servant. Not my father's son, but your servant. I am your servant. That is so powerful right there. So what he's saying is that he has bowed a knee. He has surrendered himself that God is his master. Therefore, your servant, Lord. You see, little things like that will let you know where a peace person's heart is. He says, thy servant is in the midst. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. He didn't ask for money unlimited. He didn't ask for eternal life. He didn't ask for, you know, a Rolls Royce and a Bentley and a house in Italy and a house on the French Riviera. He didn't ask for a whole all the beautiful women in the kingdom. He didn't ask for none of that, did he? He says, give me an understanding heart. Give me something, Lord, that I may serve your people. That's what I'm asking for is an understanding heart that I can understand how to rule over your people, not my people. I tell you all the time, people come to me, oh, Pastor, I'm coming to your church. I don't have a church. I don't have a church. This is God's church. This is who church that is. I don't have a ministry. This is God's ministry. I tell you, it just burns me sometime when I see some of the pastors and ministers and stuff, you know, have really high platforms. And, you know, they have little books and stuff that they do. And they have their picture all on the book. Huh? The picture is bigger than the title of the book and everything else. Got the picture on everything. Got the name on everything. No, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. Everything belongs to God. Even you. You are bought with a price. You belong to God. The money in your pocket, in your pocketbook, it belongs to God. That house that you live in, it belongs to God. That new car that y'all got, it belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. So anyway, it says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, and that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? It can only come from you, Lord. You have called me and put me in this position. So I need you to give me whatever that I need to be a servant unto you first and to be able to lead these people in your way. Not my way, but your way. And the only way I can do that, Lord, is not go to Oprah, not go to Dr. Phil, but that you give me a heart of wisdom and a heart of discernment so I can know what is good and what is bad. I can know what is evil and what is good. Only you can give me that, Lord. Because you know, a lot of our people, not here, they're really good con artists. You know, they come up with these crocodile tears and, and be lying out of, not here, other places. Yes. You know how people come to you, boy, and they look you right in your eye and be lying. Huh? Oh. And a lot of times we go for it because we have hearts of compassion. We have hearts of love. We have hearts of generosity and mercy and grace. So when somebody comes and they have a need, the first thing we want to do is be a blessing to them. But a lot of times what we give them, they go straight to the crack house. Straight to the heroin dealer, straight to the bar, out of your good money that belongs to God. So we need to be careful, and we need to be praying the same thing. Lord, give me wisdom and give me discernment, not the world's wisdom, but your wisdom. Not the world's way, but your way, so that I can discern between good and evil. He says, so that's what I want, Lord. How good is that? He didn't ask for any. He didn't ask for his enemy to be killed or for riches and long life. None of that. And listen to what he says. He says, verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord. Ooh. And the speech pleased the Lord. God says, yes, that was good. Huh? Have you ever called out to the Lord? He says, yes, that I like that what you're saying. I love that what you're asking for. And it says, and the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon, what Solomon asked this thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. What? The wisdom and the knowledge and the discernment of God. And we need that today, church. We need that today, church. Because everything up is turned upside down. Every wrong thing is said is right. Every good thing, every evil thing they're saying is good and everything else. And if we don't be careful and have the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ to have the wisdom and discernment, we will fall right in line and follow that lie, follow that evil, follow that sin. If we don't have a heart to understand that this is not right, this is not what the Word of God says. People come to me all the time. What do you think about this here, Pastor? I said, I don't have no thoughts about it. Let's see what God says about it. Let's see what the Bible says about this here, a lifestyle that you're living. Or, you know, murdering babies, butchering babies. Let's see what the Lord says about it. Oh, y'all missed a good thing, boy, here the other day. We had a thing at the Ramada Inn the other day. And, boy, we had some testimonies. Lord, have mercy. You talking about good? Lord, have mercy about what God is doing. Closing down these butcher shops. Turning those who are in ministration or whatever. With the butcher shop, now they're out here telling everybody what they really are doing at the Planned Parenthood. Tell them what they really are doing under the table. These little boy, y'all done got me started. Let me stop. Anyway, where was I at? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing, and God said to him, because thou has asked this thing and has not asked for thyself long life, neither asked for riches for thyself, nor has asked for the life of thy enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Ooh, woo! Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So you say, well, you know, I would like to have, you know, wisdom and discernment. Have you asked God for it? In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. And he said, he will give it to you unbraided. What did he say? He will give it to you without any type of hardship, freely. But you have not because you ask not. We all go through trials and tribulations. And I say this all the time. There are three types of people in the room. Those of you who are in a trial right now, those of you who are coming out of a trial, and those of you who are about ready to go into another trial and just don't know it yet. But if we have the wisdom to understand why God is allowing this trial to happen in my life, because nothing happens without God allowing it. Do you know that? Nothing happens without God allowing it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And for those of us who are in Christ, Romans 8:28, to know, not maybe, not might, not think, to know all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the nasty, work together for the good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. To know that. That whatever God allows us to go through, God is going to turn that thing around. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for the good. But when you're in the midst of that, we don't be thinking about that, do we? But you know why? Because we're concentrating on the circumstances instead of on God. You see, we're focused on the circumstance. Oh, I'm going through this. I'm going through that. Oh, blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. Our God is bigger than all of that. And when we focus on him, we were talking this morning about peace. How do we get peace? Those whose mind is stayed on me will give peace because they trust it. If we keep our mind stayed on God in every situation of our life, we need to keep our mind stayed on him. Now, we have jobs we have to do. We have families we have to deal with. Yes, we have all types of stuff we have to do. You know, we have the playoffs going on now. Did the Yankees win last night? Anyway, see, my mind, y'all need to pray for Pastor. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with watching a game or so. There's nothing wrong, you know, with that type of stuff there. But if you have that, if that's influenced you more than having your mind stayed on God, you need to reexamine yourself. What is your priority? You need to keep the main thing the main thing. You seek what you desire. Do you know that? You can talk all this yin yang to me all you want, but you seek what you desire. You desire what you seek. What do you desire? That song that we say, this is my desire. This is my desire that I seek you, Lord, that I serve you, Lord, that I love you, Lord, that I'm going to be obedient to you, Lord. Is that your desire? Or is it all my children? Days of my life. The Yankees game. The world turn. All that. How you know about the world turn, Terrence? Yeah. Anyway, praise the Lord. Now, I ain't gonna lie. Now, back in the day, you know, all my children, young and restless, huh? Some of y'all getting excited about that. You know, huh? All that. You know, back in the day, you know, when I was in time out, you know, when we was in time out, you know what I mean? We had a TV screen in time out room. And we would sit up there and, you know, 12:30 come. Yes. You know, because when you're in time out, you know, you really ain't got nothing else to do. I thought, you know, that's because I wasn't in my right mind then. But when I got in my right mind and I got put in time out, it wasn't no all my children. It wasn't none. It was the word of God and the word of God. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God put me in time out that last time. Because he gave me an insatiable desire to get into his word. You know, I didn't have any distractions out in the street. You know, their distraction in the timeout hotel. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all that might not know, in the penitentiary. And I'm so thankful to know all things work together for the good for those who love God and who are called in His purpose. I'm so thankful that that last bit I did, that I did that. I didn't think it when it was going on. But God, what He did was He took out that worldly thing out of me. He was taking out the things of the world that I love so much, that I desired so much, that I seeked so much. And He started pouring into me the things of God, you know, to get into His word, to study His word, to understand His word, to start living His word, even in the condition that I was in. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. But anyway, and it says that because you're not asked these things, and He says, ask for yourself understanding and a discernment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. See that? I don't know what version you have, but I have the King James. And there's two little letters right after words, and it's L-O. Does your L-O? You know, I always want to know what every word in the Bible, what does this mean? You know, because, you know, a lot of these words here, they might have 4, 5, 6 different meanings. And that's why the Bible, what God said, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word. Because a lot of our interpretations, what they would do, they would translate it into English. But what you have to do is go back and see what the word really means. What did it mean in the original language? In the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic. You need to go back and find that. And they have all type of things that you can go back and find those things. And so I said, what does that L-O mean? L-O. It means love in the Hebrew. It means love. So it says, behold, I have done according to thy words, love. I love that. Now, isn't it wonderful when your mate or your mother or your father, you know, they come and they say, you know, hey, love. Don't that feel good when somebody say, hey, love? Just say love to you. Makes you feel all good inside. So he says that I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there be none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Because if you have asked not things for yourself, but you ask things for the kingdom of God, you ask so you can lead my people in truth and in righteousness. Oh, love. He says, I have also given thee what thou hast not asked. Ooh, now this is getting real good. This is getting real good. I've also given you what you have not asked. What did he ask for? Both riches and honor. So that thy shall not be any among the kings like this unto the all the day. He says, I'm going to give you riches and honor. You see, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. When you seek the face of God and the heart of God instead of his hands. Because once we seek the face of God and the heart of God, said you pour out a blessing more than you can receive. I told y'all about my kids, you know, when they were growing up. My boys would come to me and say, hey, Dad, you know, you lost weight. Can I scratch your back? Because they know I like me. Can I scratch your back? And I knew something was coming. After that, you see, I knew something was coming after that. I said, what do you want? You know, and there'll always be something. But my girls, they'd come up and crawl up my lap and they would rub my face. They'd scratch my head, scratch my back. You know what I mean? Didn't ask for nothing. They had no motive other than crawling up on their daddy's lap and scratching him and rubbing him and giving me kisses on the cheek. I couldn't get my wallet out quick enough. Here, take what you want. You see what I'm saying? Take what you want. Because I know they wasn't coming trying to con me. But my boys, you know, they were apple that fell from the tree. Because that was me when I was their age. You know, oh, and I would go to the people's houses, especially with the little girls. Oh, Miss James, your hair looks so nice. That's a pretty apron. Ooh, these are the best cookies I ever had in my life. But I had a motive. Their daughter, you see. And they would say, oh, he's such a good boy. You can go ahead and take my daughter. They had no idea what they were saying. You can take my daughter to the bank, I mean, to the park, to the drive-in. Don't let your daughters go to the drive-in with no boys. Unless you go with them, sitting in the back seat with them. Don't let your child go to the drive-in with no boy. Mm-mm. Lord, let me stop. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Sitting up there looking all holy and everything. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he says, so there should not be any among you. And if thou will walk in my, listen, and if thou shall walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as their father David walked, did walk, then I will lengthen your days. Not only will I give you riches and give you honor among all the kings and everybody in the world, a heart of wisdom and discernment, I'm going to give you long life. How good is that? How good is that? I'm going to give you long life so you can enjoy these blessings that I've given you. How many of you know people had worked all their life, 30, 40 years, and they retire, and then a month or two after they retire, they die? Not able to enjoy, you know what I mean, the golden years of life. I want to be like Solomon. I want to have some long length of days. Amen. And I know that you do too. And then it says, and Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now let me stop there. Behold, it was a dream. This was a God-given dream. This was a God-given dream. And how I know it was a God-given dream, because it came true. How many of us had dreams in our lives? And that's just what there was. Might have been some pizza that you ate, or something that wasn't no good that you shouldn't have been eating. The next thing you know, you have dreams and this, that, and the other. You will know when it's a God-given dream, when it has something to do with the kingdom of God, the exaltation of the kingdom of God, and not of yourself. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have some horrific dreams, and I know good and well they're not from God. I know exactly where they're from. They're from the enemy. So be careful about them dreams. And then also be careful about going to get these dream books. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me look up and see what this dream means. Also, be careful about this thing they got out here on the internet now. About this little game or little thing that you play, that you answer questions, and it'll tell you about your future. A lot of Christians is getting on that, and it seems harmless. It's not of God. It's from the pits of hell. Only God knows what your around the corners are. You know, so all of and they make it look real innocent, I was told. But a lot of Christians is getting caught up in it. Be careful of that. I can't think of the name of it, but it'll come to me. Does anybody know the name of it? Y'all done got quiet now because y'all know. That's all right. All right. Well, just come and whisper it in my ear after service. Dennis. No, it's not a horoscope. No, because we know horoscopes is not of God. I hope y'all know that. And you know they got this new thing out now? Psychics for Christ. Yes. Psychics for Christ. How crazy is that? And do you know they're drawing Christians in there because it has the name of Christ on it? Let me tell you something. Leave all that stuff alone. Please leave it alone. All right, let me finish up here. And it says, and now Solomon awoke, Behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burning offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all of his servants. After that dream, he came up and he said, "Now I'm ready. I'm ready now because God has equipped me, prepared me to serve his people, not serve me, but to serve his people." And that's what we all should have a mind of serving the kingdom of God. That's what we all should have a desire to do, is to serve the kingdom and not be self-serving, which is called selfishness. We need to be careful about that. Now, this is here. And then there came two women that was harlots unto the king and stood before him. And we all know what harlots are, aren't they? Women of the night. And there came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "Oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house." We live in the house together. We're roommates. We're living in the house together, and I had a child, and she had a child about the same time. About the same time. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. So they three days apart, they delivered. And we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house. It was just me and her in the house. Save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She rolled over and laid over on it. Now, we know there's many deaths like that. There's many deaths like that. Of little children, when you put your child in the bed with you, you know what I mean? And you roll over on the child and suffocate the child. That happens a lot. A lot. That's why you should have a bassinet. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, we all love babies. I love smelling babies' heads. Oh, when a baby's fresh, oh, there's nothing like smelling a fresh baby's head. That's the closest thing to eternity to me, to heaven to me. Smelling a baby's head fresh out of the basket. Woo! I love it. Anyway. And it says that, and she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thy handmaiden slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. She switched the babies. She woke up in the middle of the night, and she saw that what she had done, she had laid a rolled over. What wasn't intentional? She rolled over and laid on her baby, and she found out that her baby was dead. She looked over. She saw the other lady laying over sleeping, and saw that baby next to her. So she took her dead baby and put it over there next to the woman and picked the woman's live baby up and brought it over into her bed, thinking that nobody would know. But let me say something to y'all. Now, I've never had a baby. Thank God. You know, I've seen them delivered, and God knew what he was doing when he made me a man. Because I would never, as a woman, go through that. I'd be a nun. Yes, if I was a woman, you wouldn't have to worry about it. Because I've seen it. I've seen it. Lord have mercy. I've heard it. Mm-mm. All that screaming and hollering, that blood and all that. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. But it's a miracle from God, isn't it? That's a miracle from God. That is a miracle to see a life come out of a human being. Oh, how good is that? So she took her dead baby and put it in place of the live baby, and she switched them. Now, and then it says, and when I rose in the morning to give my child suck or to feed my, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, this was not my son, which I did bear. Any of you who have ever had a baby, you know your baby from somebody else's baby. They might be the same size, same age, same color. But you know your baby. You know your baby. You know, because I've been in the delivery room when the mother gets the baby and they put the baby on the mother's chest. And that mother is inspecting everything, looking at the ears. They take a look at the toes, count the toes, you know, turn the baby over. They look at everything. They inspect that baby. They know their baby. They know their baby. So anyway, so she said that, and she said to the king, no, she said, it's not my son. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son and the dead is thy son. And they said, no, but the dead is thy son. So it's her word against my word. It's her word against my word. I say that this is my baby, the live baby. She said, no, 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 this is my baby, the live baby. That's your baby, the dead baby. And I'm saying, no, that's your baby, the dead baby. Now, King Solomon, you know, he's like, mm-hmm. How are we going to deal with this? Let's go to Ancestry DNA. They didn't have it back then, did they? But let me tell you what he did have. He had something better. He had something better. And said the king to the one, says, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is a dead one. And the other said, no. And the king says, bring me a sword. Ooh, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. Oh, my goodness. He says, bring me a sword and cut that baby in half. Oh. And give half to the one and half to the other. So I'm going to settle this right now. You said it's your baby and you said it's yours. We're going to give you half of it. You're going to have half and you're going to have half. Then spoke the woman those whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yawned upon her. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor these, but divided. So the one said, you know what? Even though I know that that's my baby boy, give it to her so you don't kill it. And the other one said, no, 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 cut it in half and give her the other half. Oh. And then the king says, and spoke the woman whose living child was unto the king, and her bowels yawned, and we talked about it. And the king answered and said, give her the living child, for in no wise say it, she is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment, what the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, he would not have killed that baby. He wasn't going to do that, but he wanted them to think that, to see who the true mother was. The wisdom of God. You see, he didn't play eeny, meeny, miny, mo. God, he had asked for that wisdom. And as soon as he asked for that wisdom, here come these two ladies. Soon as he asked for to have that wisdom and discernment, God said, I'm gonna show you what I've given you and how you can do this. How good is God? How good is God? That's why we should pray every day for more wisdom and more discernment, to know what is of God, what is not of God, what is evil and what is good. You know, because people today are very deceptive, very deceptive. All of this stuff that we're seeing, it looks like it's all good and all wonderful and everything else. It's from the pits of hell, a lot of it. And we as Christians should not get involved with it. But if we have the wisdom of God, only the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom of the government, but the wisdom of God and the wisdom of God only. When we come to that, let me tell you something. We will be able to be just like he was, to serve the kingdom of God in spirit and in truth. To serve the, not for me. It's not for me. It's for you. It's for the people that God puts in the path of your life, for your family members and your loved ones. True story. When my boys, they're 2 years apart. Shane and Sean. And when they would do stuff, and they would do a lot of stuff, Lord have mercy. And I'd walk into the room. Shane did it. Sean did it. He did it. He did it. You know, they would all point to each other. Point to each other. I said, I'm going to whoop both of y'all. I'm going to get both of y'all whooping. You know, that way I get the right one. And then one, I didn't do it, Daddy. I didn't do it, Daddy. You know, I didn't do it, Daddy. I said, well, you're going to do something, or you did something. You're going to need a whooping anyway. And I tell you, my kids, my boys, you know, when they got older, they came to me and they thanked me for disciplining them. Because you know why? Because now they have children of their own. Mm-hmm. And that's what I prayed. Lord, give them children just like they are. And so they seeing what it's like now. But they came and they say, Dad, thank you for disciplining us. You know, we didn't like it when you were disciplined, but we knew you did it because you loved us. Now, back in the day when I was coming up, I'd probably still been in penitentiary for child abuse. Because I used to whoop my boys. I ain't going to lie. I would whoop my boys because I got whoopings, you know, when I was a kid. And the Bible says, you know, I mean, that you know, we need to discipline our children. You know, and you got this new stuff out of you. Oh, you don't hit your child. You know, you talk to them and put them in time out. I could talk to them boys till Jesus come back. It ain't going to do no good. Time out? Mm-mm. Ain't going to do no good. You know, but I'm saying this to say that I ain't telling y'all to whoop your children. Now, don't say, Pastor told me to whoop y'all. But if you have a child that has a rebellion, that's rebellious, you need to find out what their currency is and deal with that. You understand what I'm saying? What's really, really important to them? And impose that, because so many parents, they make all type of threats and never follow through. And the kids know that. And they will play you. And they will play the husband against the wife. So husband and wife, y'all need to be on the same page of what that is with these kids. And remember that your child is a gift from God. Y'all need to remember that. Regardless of how they're acting, remember. And remember how God loves us. He said, nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. He might not like the way that we act. And there's discipline for that, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I've been going to the woodshed, boy, for years. Yes, and I really don't like it. But, you know, it gets my attention. It gets my attention not to do that same thing over and over again. But today, if you're not getting nothing out of what I said today, pray for wisdom and discernment. Because we're going to need it so much more in the days to come. We're going to need to know what, because the world is at our Christianity. The world is at our faith. And we are going to be tested as of no other time. And the enemy is going to come as an angel of light and make it seem like it's of God. Make it seem like it's okay. Make it seem like it's good. But there's many on that broad road on their way to destruction, thinking they're on their way to heaven. The Bible says they're on their way to destruction. They're deceived, not knowing. You don't hear about, you know, abandoning a life now, abandon that old life. You don't hear about a life of purity and righteousness and holiness and the fear of God. You hear about entertaining this candy cane gospel of what God can give you, what you can get from God. Not surrendering your life to Jesus. Not coming to an end of a life of sin and unrighteousness. But you're going to hear that here if you're here. Because that candy cane gospel, I'm going to tell you something. You'd be right on that broad road with so many. There's a narrow road that few that finds. Few be that find it. That's why we preach and teach what we preach and teach. I know it's not favorable. I know it's not. You know, I'm not going to tickle your ears. I'm not going to entertain you. I'm going to give you the word of God in spirit and in truth. And people get mad at me. People leave the church. That's why the church is not filled today. If I would preach prosperity and preach what God can give you. And we'll be having 4, 5, 6 services. But I'd much rather just have a handful of you that is living in the truth, that's living in the truth and following the truth of God's word, than have thousands and thousands and thousands of people on these great big. Now, let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with the mega churches. You know, God uses that also. But for me, he's called me to be a under shepherd. I want to look out here and say, that's Angel. That's her husband, Greg. That's Liza. That's Terrence. There's Steve. There's Russell. There's Nadia. There's Peggy. There's Lizzie. There's that one. You hear what I'm saying? I want to be able to know each and every one. I want to know your children. I want to come over to your house and eat some fried chicken. And go to the little soccer games and the baseball games and the little gymnastic thing. Boy, look, which name? She was Tamron. She was in the thing and she was turning these flips. And I said, girl, look at you. I said, you gonna be? She said, I do gymnastics. And she started twirling for me. She started doing the splits. And she said, can you do that? I said, boy, they had to call the ambulance. Doing the split. Lord have mercy. I can't even kneel down without getting some help to get up. Let alone some splits. Oh, my goodness. But see, I love that type of thing. You know, I love that, to be able to know who you are. I cannot pastor thousands of people. I don't want to do that. I just don't. You know, I want to have a personal, intimate relationship with all of you, to know who you are, know your children, know your husband, know everything about you. Well, not everything, but, you know, I want to be able to send somebody over to your house to take the air conditioner out of your top window in November. Somebody living on what street is that? What street you live on, Elder? What is it? Hamilton, on South Hamilton. I want to be able to send somebody on South Hamilton to somebody who has an air conditioner still in their top window in November. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord, whoever that might be. If there's anybody here this morning and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, you have not truly given your life to Jesus to live a surrendered life. See, so many times we will live a half-surrendered life. On Sunday, we're surrendered. Tuesday at prayer meeting, we're surrendered. Wednesday on Bible study, we're surrendered. But the rest of the week, we still out there in the world doing what the things of the world is doing. Yeah. Come in here, you know what I mean, and you hear the word of God, and you get really good, you know, through Sunday and then Sunday night, but then Monday morning comes around, and that word is then leaked out, and we're right back in the world. That's not a surrendered life. Now, let me say this here. We're not perfect, and we never are going to be perfect. Yielding your life to Jesus is not an event. It's a daily process of commitment and obedience. A daily process of commitment and obedience to him. And once again, we're not perfect. I'm not talking about perfection. God, you know, we're going to be perfect when we get up to heaven. But here we got issues. We got things going on. But what I'm saying to you is, if you hadn't truly, totally surrendered, I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will prick your heart this morning. Because let me tell you something. The Bible says wars and rumors of wars. What do we hear on CNN? Wars and rumors of wars. Lovers of money Love is a pleasure. Mm-hmm. And it's right there. It's right here. It's right here. Jesus can come back at any moment. Any moment. Are you ready to stand before Jesus? Are you ready to stand before Jesus? The lifestyle that you're living now, and Jesus was to come back in 5 minutes. Are you ready to stand before Him and receive? Because let me tell you, you can fool me. You can fool the people standing around you. You can't fool God. You see, because we look on the outward. God looks on the inner. So He knows us. So if you're out there half stepping, if you're out there, you know, knowing that you need to get right with God, that you need to get in a place where you know that you know that you know that if Jesus come back in 5 minutes, I can stand before Him with my head up and my shoulders back to hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter the joy of the Lord," instead of, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Well, I went to church every Sunday. I paid my tithes. I read the daily bread every day. Went to Bible study. But you was not truly surrendered. Once again, I'm not talking about perfection, people. But I'm talking about being real. Because one day we all going to stand before Him. Are you ready to stand before Jesus today? Or are you not? And there's no shame in not being ready. But you can be today. You can leave out here today to know that you know that you know that if Jesus met me at the front door, I'm ready to go home. Mm-hmm. And if you say, "I hope, I wish," that's not good enough. "I hope, I wish" is not good enough. Because you can know without a shadow of a doubt that when you leave here, you have an inheritance and that you have made a reservation in heaven. That's when we could be free and free indeed. He who has a son is free and free indeed. And once again, we all make wrong choices and bad decisions. We all do it and we all will. But I'm talking about having a heart for Jesus to be real. So if that's you this morning, and you want to come and say, "Lord, I need to be purged. I need for you to just bring me to a place where my heart has a desire for you. This is my desire, Lord, to only want what you want for me." And if not, that's on you. But I can say this here. There's no excuses now. Because you've heard the gospel. There's no excuses for you now. "Oh, I didn't know. I thought." No, no, no. There's only two places, heaven or hell. And we're going to one or two places. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So if you're saying that you're good, praise the Lord. If you're saying that you're good, praise the Lord. But if you have any doubt, if your seat is getting a little warm on you, just come. Come today and say, "Lord, today I'm surrendering 100%. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand up and come. Be real, be honest. And nobody's going to judge you in here. Nobody in here can throw rocks at nobody. None of us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Let me say something to you. I think there's somebody else in here.
Yeah.
But, you know, for whatever reason that you can't come, for whatever reason why you can't come up, you know, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not, you know, going to condemn you or anything else. You know, God knows who you are, and you know who you are too, but for whatever reason why you can't get up, pray this prayer with us. And God will meet you in your seat. He'll meet you wherever you are if you get real with Him. Come ask you, let's pray this prayer. Rosie, pray this prayer with me, all right? Yes. Scotty, pray this prayer. Yes. Heavenly Father, I come today. I'm surrendering my life to you. None of me, but all of you. And Lord, I need you to fill me with your Spirit, to lead and guide me in all truth and all righteousness. This day, Lord, I'm surrendered of life of righteousness and a life of holiness. And I love you, Lord. And Lord, give me to only want what you want for me. And I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know it, Scotty. I know it, Scotty. Yes, it's okay. It's okay. Yes, and Jesus loves you so much, Scotty. Do you know that?